Good morning, everyone. And let y'all know, this morning I had to take a cold shower. Woo, not by choice. I'm gonna tell y'all that. Like, trust me, Corinne is not a cold shower kind of person. I know that's very popular in some parts of the fitness world these days. I am not a partaker in that. But this morning, it was confirmation to me that every trend does not need to be followed. I was like, oh shit, this is terrible. I applaud though people who can handle it though. It just like that is some bullshit right there. I do use something called the higher dose infrared sauna blanket. That's more my speed when it comes to settling your nervous system and taking care of yourself. Like anything that's hot, I'm all in. So, all right. So today what we're going to do is we are going to talk all about the assessment that we've been doing for the whole month. So if you are joining me, I created a deep dive assessment for all of you so that you could start looking kind of beneath the surface of just, am I doing the basics? And a lot of times, what you've learned this month is that there are hundreds of things that we can change. Like most of us, we get stuck on a stall or plateau because we keep thinking like, well, I just need to get better at the basics. But what part of the basics? What's the easiest part to start with? What's the simplest step you can start taking? What I was hoping that you would get out of this month's assessment is your weight loss is going to be paved on tiny shifts moving forward. All goals happen that way. We want to always be looking for incremental improvement. I talk to my husband about this all the time because, you know, Chris, like literally he's a super smart guy, like the, you know, Mensa quality kind of dude. And he's been pretty successful his whole life. Like he just, you know, he's low drama, all the things. And a lot of times I think when we see successful people, we automatically think that they must have something we don't have, or that they make radical changes, and or we see their after and we don't see the thousands of little tiny changes they made to get to where they are. So one of the things I was talking to him about is like, well, like how is it that like you learn so much stuff? But he's just a voracious learner of things. And he said, incremental improvement. And I said, well, tell me more about it. And he said, I think like we have to go against our conditioning to want to change everything at one time. We actually have to work with how our brain really appreciates learning a little bit at a time, small steps, and that feeds our dopamine response. I mean, it was really like, I love the way he talked about it. I would have given anything if we'd been recording it, because he really talked about it in such a way where it made so much sense in terms of when we are making small progress and acknowledging it and seeing it and keeping things at such a tolerable rate that we can consume it, we can do it, we can make that little bit of progress, our brain is constantly getting rewarded. The only thing we truly have to overcome for that progress is our desire to do it all. We just have to shut down the desire to do it all. Emily said, I joined, who she talking about? I'm talking about my husband, Chris. So there's no podcast to listen to. There's no book to go read. Like y'all do not need to like go out and consume more information. I am breaking it all down right here for you. This is one of the nice things about being inside an OBS. You do not have to go out and buy a bunch of other shit in order to lose your weight. You can just listen to me rattle on and on and on these calls, and I'm condensing everything down for you. So he and I are talking about this, and I really liked what he was saying because, you know, so many of us, it's like we have this desire to like, well, I feel like I've got to do everything. I should make everything different. Like, you know, if I don't do it all, nothing's going to work. And it's just not true. And the problem, there's like a couple of problems that arise. Number one, like it's not like you're going against human design. The only reason why you crave to do all of that is because you want to feel like good soon. And you think the only way to feel good is to actually accomplish your goal. Like, I can't feel good. I can't feel worthy. I can't feel safe. I can't take pride in what I've done. You know, if I feel good before I get there, then I have feelings of the shoe might drop. I'll get too cocky, like all this stuff. And so what we do is we delay everything that we want to actually feel until we get to the end. So we make the path excruciating. And it's not true. You do not have to wait to the end to start feeling progress and better about yourself. You do not need to worry that if you're making constant progress, that the shoe's going to drop. There's no shoes in weight loss that are dropping out of the sky. Here's what happens. You're going to run up on the normal things that you were going to run up on, whether or not you celebrated yourself or you played things close to the vest. You're still going to run up on overeats and emotional things, stuff that rocks your world, automatic habits that kick back in that you thought were gone. It's like, oh, wait, today I was just mindlessly eating. I haven't done that in a long time. I wonder what triggered that. You're going to run into those things, whether or not you're giving yourself credit all along the way, or if you are panicky, worried, cautious, and overly worried all of the way. They're always going to happen. So when we're talking about this, like, I want y'all to see, like, it doesn't help you to deny yourself feeling good that you made some progress at all. It literally, like, if you think about it, the more nerves, the more anxiety, the more crap you build up in your body, you are saying to yourself, hey, I know I usually eat over this stuff. We're just going to try to be good while driving ourselves crazy. It doesn't work. And then the other side of it, like, so there's this desire to change it all so that we can, like, get to where we think we want to go faster. When we can get to where we want to go all along the way, if at the end of your weight loss journey, you want to feel proud of yourself, then fucking do small things each day that give you a sense of pride. Do not wait till the end. And I think the other thing that's so important is the dopamine. It is, you know, as overeaters, we are always seeking out dopamine, the feel good, the thing that, like, relaxes us. And what we don't realize is that there are multiple ways to get it. One is food. Another is booze. You can take drugs. You can do all kinds of things. You can seek external validation. You can try to manipulate the world to talk to you the way you want to respond the way you want to. Like, we can do all of that. We can people please in hopes that people will be grateful for us or that they will think nice things about us. Like, that's one way to get dopamine. And that is the exhausting way. It is the way that causes weight gain. And it is the way that sucks. There's also other forms of dopamine. Like Fran is saying, exercise is one of them. Exercising is one way. They say those cold showers do it. I will personally tell you, I did not feel 1 ounce of dopamine from that fucking cold shower. Just saying. But practicing self-care will give you dopamine. You know what else gives you dopamine? Changing how you're fucking thinking in your head. That is the biggest dopamine driver, the one you can have at any moment that you want it. And it's the most consistent and the most reliable form. It does not take anything other than your effort to think something different about you. That's it. So all of us are dopamine seekers. Every single one of us, we come out of the box as a human that way. Babies cry to get milk and that releases dopamine. So do not sit there and be like, okay, girl, I'm so broken. I'm a dopamine seeker. Frowny emoji. I always love it when y'all stick a fucking frowny emoji in something. I'm just going to tell you right now, if you ever want to, like, trigger my inner bitch, it's like, post a comment and then put your frowny emoji at the end, because I'm sitting there going, Womp womp your mind. Y'all, here's one, a quick and easy way for you to quit slowly eroding your own self-esteem. Do not use emojis that suck. The only time I ever use a frowny emoji is if I'm joking with someone. It is not legit. Y'all got to be on the lookout for every moment that your bullshit is trying to sneak out and take over your life. So for the rest of this call, I better not fucking see a frowny emoji on that chat. Just saying. All right. But we're all dopamine seekers. Every human. We're wired to seek dopamine. It's not a problem that we seek dopamine. And if you make it a problem, you're hopeless. You are fucking hopeless when it comes to losing weight. You cannot afford to think that. And here's why. Because your brain needs dopamine. It needs those rewards to train it what to do more of. So if you want to think better about yourself, start fucking journaling. Stop hiding from it. One of the things that I'm going to be teaching y'all, congratulations to everyone that has so far signed up for Think It, Ink It, Shrink It Camp. It is going to be fire. I just finished all the content. I am getting ready to record for y'all some little bitty like sneak previews of everything we're going to learn. And let me tell you what's happening. We are not going to just fuck around with our deep-seated, scary shit. That is not journaling. Journaling is not about how upset can you make yourself. Journaling is also not a foray into screwing around with your past a lot more. It's not a cry session every day. Do you know what most of journaling is? Telling yourself like a boss, here's what we're going to do today. And here's what we're going to think about ourselves. And here's the shit that actually is going right in our life. Because you already think enough bullshit. I need to give you some rest and some peace in this journal to know everything ain't the shit show you think it is sometimes. That's also journaling. And so if you want some dopamine, then do some journaling on things like a to-do list. A lot of you are list makers. Do you know one of my favorite forms of journaling is? I write down everything I need to do for the day. And then what I love most is I go through and I was like, okay, if I only got 3 things done, knowing that these are the things that would improve either my life, my business. These are the things that, like, I don't care if it is wash a load of clothes. If a load of clothes has been bothering me forever and I've been watching it sit there, I will write about how doing a load of clothes will be such a relief to get it done. So I do a lot of list making because I enjoy seeing what I have to do. I enjoy not having to keep it all in my head, swirling around. A lot of times when I look at my list, you know what else I do? I ask myself, is some of this stuff able to just wait? There's so much relief in being able to tell myself, you know you think this is important. And you think these are all the things I have to do. But honestly, this doesn't even have to be done today. So now what I can do is just put that on to another day. Trusting that I've already thought about it. Trusting that I've already taken care of it. And that there's another version of me one day who will get the joy of doing it. So, like, dopamine is important to all of us. And we have to think about how we're thinking. And one of the things that I hope you found in the assessment is that a lot of you, when you land on your, like you say, I'm stalled in my weight loss. You keep just trying to do the same shit over and over again, but you're not really tackling all of the things you could be tackling. You're keeping it way too broad. You're keeping it way too high level. And so the assessment asked you a butt ton of questions. And a lot of it was about what goes on in your mind, how often you are changing your thinking, how often you are examining it and stuff. All of that is part of weight loss. It's not just stopping at enough. Part of stopping at enough is understanding why you don't want to, how to create safety around stopping at enough because you fear you might get hungry later. It's about the level of conversation to have with yourself before you eat, during your eating, and after your eating. So I want you to do this because I wanted to talk to y'all today about like, all right, what do we do with this assessment? Like you've taken it once, right? And hopefully you all did because we've spent a whole month on it. And if you are still sitting on the sidelines, you still have not taken this assessment, you need to ask yourself, what knowledge, progress, and potential relief in my weight loss am I denying myself by not doing it? You probably already have enough reasons why you think you shouldn't, don't think it's important, don't want to face your music. You already, like, we already know you got shit ass thoughts if you ain't done it yet. If you haven't made a 5-minute effort in a whole month, then we know something's going on underneath. So what I want you to do is I just want you to do the assessment. It takes 5 minutes, or answer my question. What relief, what progress, like what am I denying myself in my weight loss by not figuring out where am I at right now? Now, if you're brand new to No BS, you need to finish your No BS course. Then you can take your assessment at the end. That is not for you. You do not have shitty ass thoughts about it. Somebody said, I've been out of the country for 2.5 months. Guess what? If you're on this call, you can quickly go on over to the website and take your damn assessment. That would be step one that I would, especially if you're coming back in from being gone for 2.5 months, guess what I would do? First thing I'd do is I'd take that fucking assessment, see where you're at. All right. Now, here's what I want to tell y'all. I would do this every month. So if you don't know, I have a special group program running right now. It's closed. It sold out over a month ago. It sold out in July. In there, I am having them do it every month. And I will be working with them each month on what they're learning from it. For you, you too can do that. So like next month, let's see, what is next month? September? I believe we're going to go back to the basics. Like we are going to do, like I am going to hammer some more basic shit into your brains all next month because the basics are always needing to be tuned up. They are the lifeblood of your weight loss. So we are going to tune up, answer questions, break through shit that stands in your way of those basics. So what I would do moving forward is every month, I would just start my month with the assessment. And I would look for, did any of my ones change? So we had someone in the chat say, Tig said, I took it again and some of my ones have now turned into twos, which means she's made some progress. Ones are typically, I've not really been doing any of it. Like, I'm like, not doing it at all. And twos means, hey, I'm doing it sometimes. I'm not really like proficient yet. It's not on lock, but look at me. I am in the middle now. That's progress. So we want to make sure that when you take it, you want to look for a few things. And the first thing is, where did my ones become twos from last month? Before, like, this is what most of you do. You'll take the assessment and then you'll automatically go to womp womp. Somebody will insert that. Like somebody will say, I took it, frowny face. I still had ones. Oh my God. Some of my twos turned into ones. Like your brain will go to fucking worst case scenario first. Here's what we're going to do. We are not going to do that first. I don't care if you want to bellyache, whine, roll around in your shit, spread it all over your face and walls. I don't give a crap what you do with your dirty diaper. But before we do it, we are going to take our assessment and we are going to look for progress first. This is really important for your brain. Your brain needs to see progress and it has to be trained to do so. The automatic habit for all people is to go to the bullshit, the words not working, the want. If you ever want to be someone that can first and foremost see progress first, that means in the very beginning, you have to do it on purpose. We don't become the person we want to be by accident. And a lot of you are trying to be her by accident or by shaming yourself. Like, I wonder why I never feel good about myself. All I do is really highlight all the things that are wrong with me. It's so confusing. Your brain is not going to change without you doing the work on changing it. So like the work literally means you take the assessment, you take a big deep breath, and you tell yourself, before I cast judgment on thyself, I am going to figure out what positively changed. Did I actually, like, I don't care if you rated yourself exactly the same. Did you actually attempt your 1% level ups? If you did, that's progress. There was a version of you that wouldn't do the assessment at some point. Then there was probably a version of you that would do the assessment and then not do jack shit with it. And then there was a version of you who does the assessment, picks something, tries it. It doesn't go like you expected. Then there's a version of you who does the assessment, sees the things, tries the things, notices some self-improves. Notice how we evolve into the person who one day does the assessment. Most things are now clicking, but every single month they find something they can work on because they're all about what my husband was talking about earlier in the call. They're all about a lifelong pursuit of incremental progress, the lifelong pursuit of just doing a little bit better, striving to change, getting those small dopamine hits, and doing it in such a way that, like, when you become a dopamine seeker through self-improvement, the way you talk to yourself and stuff, guess what you don't need anymore? Dopamine from food. Because now your brain's getting what it wanted all along. So we're replacing how we're getting it. So first thing you do is you retake the assessment and you look for some progress. You look for areas that you improved. You look for anything that's positive. Sometimes that's hard when we are used to being a butt to ourselves, but just because it's hard doesn't mean we don't do it. Just because it's hard doesn't mean you're broken. All it means is, this is the hard part for me. Good to know. Because one day, you know what I would love? I'd like the easy part to be finding what's working in my life. If you would like to be that person one day, start the day training yourself by just using the assessment. Now, step two is where you're going to go through and you're going to look at all the areas that are still a one, or maybe there are areas where a two or a three became a two or two became a one because you were focused on another area. That's very normal. That's what happens to me. Whenever I do assessments in all kinds of different things in my business life, in my exercise life, like I do a lot of things. Like I was watching my logs. Y'all know I lift a lot of weights and I've been working with my online trainer for almost a year now. And this last round, I've traveled a lot. Like I have traveled a whole lot and I did like weight loss camp. Like it's just been a really busy season. And so I'm doing my assessments. And one of the things I noticed is that my running has gotten slower because I've been really focused on lifting heavier, like putting all my energy and effort there. And so I ran a little less with a little less intensity. I traveled a lot. So I will not sacrifice weights for cardio. So like if I can't get my weights done, like you're never going to catch me doing cardio before weights ever. It is always weights come first. Well, I noticed that my running has slipped, you know, and I worked last year on trying to get faster and faster and faster. Well, now my running has like gotten slower. That's very normal. When you put your energy and effort on one thing, another thing might go back, and that's normal. That's not frowny face emoji time. That's not a bad thing. And sometimes areas that will slip won't have a big impact on your weight loss either. Like if I do my assessment and I notice because I'm traveling a lot, let's say, and I'm have like early wake ups and all this other stuff, I might notice that my planning and assessing might drop for a month. Like it could, like the numbers could go lower. Like I could be like a 3 and then suddenly be a 1. Like I'm hardly ever doing it, whatever, right? But I can also see like, well, I didn't really gain any weight because this month I got so focused on knowing how busy I was that I was going to really pay attention to hunger and enough. That was going to be like my main focus. Well, because I paid attention to those, even though I wasn't planning, just because I went back in one number doesn't always mean that your overall progress also goes back. So remember, we want to just be looking at data. And we want to be explaining it. So as you look at those, I want you to take a deep breath and tell yourself, if I'm going to be the scientist of this information, and I'm not going to be the judge and jury of it, convicting myself of, you know, guilty of weight loss shame, what are the insights I can pull from this? Is it not that big a deal? I just want to pay attention to it this month. Did I notice that when I do this, I tend to lose focus here? So this month, how can I focus on both? How can I make them work together? So you want to be looking for the insights. And then step 3 is I want to teach you a different way to think about the scale. So I was talking to in Project U as I was coaching them. Somebody was talking about, you know, losing weight and her weight slowing down. And I said, well, has it really slowed down? And so she kept giving me pounds. And I said, yeah, but you're not telling me the percentage. Like pounds, like you should, as you get smaller, you should be losing less and less pounds, but that doesn't mean the rate of weight loss gets slower. And she was like, what are you even talking about? So let me tell you how it works. So on step 3, I want you to look at your scale. Like, and then you're going to use the percentage of weight you lost to get a real deep dive into your progress. So for example, let's say you started at 250 pounds and in a month you lost 5 pounds. So maybe you just joined, you've lost 5 pounds. That means 2% of your body weight dropped this month. Now, let's say it's a few months from now, and you get to 200 pounds, and now you're losing 4 pounds a month instead of 5. Guess what most of us say? Well, you know, I'm in the slow period of weight loss. My weight loss always slows down. It's like, woe is me. This just happens. Bet your weight loss has not slowed down at all. If you are 200 pounds and you lose 4 pounds, you still are losing 2% every month. Your weight loss didn't slow down at all. You know what's slow? You're fucking thinking about it. You're thinking like a fool. Now, a lot of us don't, this doesn't occur to us. That's why I'm going to teach you. But any moment after this, when you have heard the words come out my mouth about the percentages, you are now officially a fool if you are thinking that way. Do not be a fool for yourself. So now, let's say we're trucking along. Here we are at the 100-pound club. It's 150 pounds. And we're like, you just don't know. When you lose as much weight as I have, it's so frustrating and hard to only be losing 3 pounds a month. I know a lot of you are sitting there thinking, well, if I lost 100 pounds, I would not be bitching and moaning. Bullshit. Go listen to some coaching calls of people who were in the last 10 pounds, and every one of them come on looking stricken ashen and crying. They are anything but thrilled with themselves. They are telling themselves shit like this. Do you know what 3 pounds a month for somebody who weighs 150 pounds is? 2% of weight loss. We are still like, this is what's important. You're going to lose about 0.5% to 3% of your body weight each month in average. The pounds and how they go down, add in the percentages. It is an easy mathematical way to release a lot of the drama that we have that's just wrong and extra. And if y'all are like me, the last thing you need is to be adding drama to your life. The world gives you enough drama. You don't need to be creating any on your own when it comes to weight loss. So we're going to look at percentages, and that's going to help us see, is my weight loss actually slowing down, or is my brain creating faux drama around this? So I would suggest a lot of you start tracking that. Guess what you can do? Open up your planner on that weigh-in page. Every week, draw you a line in that says, this is the percentage I'm losing. Or do it on your monthly. Just draw a line in and say, this is my percentage. Don't wait for us to update the planner. Don't be like, well, I can't do it because, you know, Corinne didn't go into Adobe Insight or whatever the name of that program is that we have to use and update it for all of you. Just fucking draw a line in. If it's going to help you, help yourself by doing it. All right. So here's what you probably found out this month. And if y'all have any questions, now's the time to go ahead and pop them into Q&A. Let me pull up my Q&A just in case y'all have any questions. Number one, you found out after you've done the assessment and you worked on your level ups that you are not on a stall at all. Not at all. You found emotional eating you're still hanging on to. You found that when you feel stressed, you still do this. You found that when anybody invites you to a party, you throw your plan away. You probably found some stuff that's like, oh, this is not a stall. What I have found is that I have found the exact things I need to work on if I would like the scale to keep moving. If I don't want the scale to move, these are the things. This is the overeats. This is the off-plan eats. These are the things that I will keep, and this will not stall me. This is my chosen habits and chosen things I'm doing to stay at this weight. We need to make sure we tell ourselves the truth. The other thing is you will find that like you found your mental hurdles that you need to overcome. A lot of you keep thinking, I just need to get better at the basics. You don't need to get better at the basics. You need to be on the lookout for the mental hurdles preventing you from being better at the basics than you are. And then the next thing is if you solved some of your ones and you were consistent in your four basics and you still did not lose any weight, like you're like I did all these things. I changed all these things. Like Corinne, there's like the emotional eating is just not happening for me. Like the mental hurdle's not happening. Then we might want to look at, like, there's a couple of areas. You might want to try the halftime method just to make sure you're truly stopping at enough. Because if you don't have emotional eating going on, you're following your plan, then you want to actually look. And this is like a month of consistently doing that. Not, I did it for a couple of weeks and I had a few overeats. Like, I don't want to hear anybody say, these overeats shouldn't matter. They do. They matter to your weight loss. You don't have to be deprived. You don't have to like cut out your carbs and stuff, but you know what you do have to cut out? The lie you tell yourself that emotional eating should be able to be done while you lose weight. It's like, don't you want to get over it? Wouldn't you like to have a stressful day and not have to turn to popcorn to get through it? So let's just be like with the truth. I need to work on stressful days. I need to understand when they're going to happen and that I'm not going to sit there and eat popcorn over it anymore. I'm either going to be stressed or I'm going to figure out how to fucking care for myself. That's what's fixing to happen this month. So you can look at the halftime method just to make sure that the enough is truly dialed in. So that just means you're going to eat slower. Doesn't mean you necessarily will have to eat a lot of less, but you might want to try it for a couple weeks to see, are there any times when you're just like eating to your new, what we would call full, that your old self was saying was enough? Because as you get smaller, you're just not going to need as much food. And for most of you, what ends up happening is when you first start losing weight, eating to enough is still full. It's just you're not eating like in complete excess anymore. And then as you get smaller, you may be at full when you really need to be at enough. So just think about that. The other thing it could be a sign of is if like you really are at enough and you really are to things, we might need to look at quality of food. This does not mean we're giving up our carbs. I think every woman should have a minimum of 130 grams of carbs every day, which is the equal to 9 slices of bread. Women need their carbohydrates. Stop trying to take them away unless you have a medical diagnosis that says your body physically cannot tolerate them. If you're allergic to them, it'd be like, just like, you know, I think everybody should be able to eat peanuts, except for people with a peanut allergy. I think everybody should be able to eat seafood. I love it, except for people with a seafood allergy. But a lot of you are cutting out carbs and actually stalling your weight loss when a woman's body truly needs them. So look at the quality of your food. Where can you add in some fruits and vegetables? What are some small, unique shifts that you can make? We're not talking about getting rid of everything you love. We're talking about adding in some gentle nutrition to see if it shakes up your body a little bit, to see if it just needs some nutrients. Because sometimes we end up just eating a lot of the foods we like, and enough and full will get you a long way with that. Then at a certain point, your body's like, yeah, but I'm going to need like some fucking fiber. And a little vitamin C wouldn't hurt. And, you know, I kind of like zinc. Like potassium, it's a good thing for my brain. Like sometimes we have to actually add in a little bit of this stuff. Not at the sacrifice of everything else, where you're not talking about cutting things. We're talking about what can you be adding nutritionally that can make an impact. Then the last thing is, if you were on a stall, you took the assessment, you moved some ones to twos and threes, you might just notice like, oh, I just needed to dial in some stuff. My weight loss kickstarted. That should teach you that bouncing around that same 5 pounds is not because you can't lose weight. It's because when you clean up some stuff, you lose weight. When you stop cleaning stuff up, or you let yourself go back to what you were doing, no, what do you expect? Don't be shocked if the 5 pounds come back. It's all about looking for those little opportunities, and that's what the assessment helps you do. All right. So we are going to this, I believe it's Saturday, August the 26th. We have a monthly planning and assessment call. So if you want to take the assessment again, you can come to that call and you can ask questions. You can get help on your next steps, all the things. Again, that's on Saturday, August the 26th. If you will go to the calendar on the No BS Women website, if you go to your member site, you can add it to your calendar. The time will be there. Everything that you need around that call is right there. If you can't attend, guess what? It will be in the replays on Tuesday, so you can listen to it. Then if you have any questions after you listen to the replay, feel free to take it to Ask Coaches. And then feel free to tell us in Facebook what you learned most this month about assessing. I would really like to know, because I really believe that assessing is going to be like next level for all of us. I'm working on all kinds of exciting things for next year in terms of the membership and assessing, and like a routine assessing is going to be a key part of it. All right, let's see. So when we eat less, which I am doing, how do we get the proper nutrients without the extra food? You don't need as much food to get, this is where, like, when you're eating less, you want to make sure, Nancy, that some of, you don't need extra food to get nutrients, but you do need to look at your food and decide, like, you know, if I need some vitamins, if I need fiber and stuff, I need to pick some good quality shit. So, like, let's say you normally eat bunny bread. Let's say you like bread and you're a bunny bread person. It's, you know, white as the driven snow. You might want to try looking for one of those white breads that now have more shit in them. Like they've added some vitamins and stuff. It's like, it's actually wheat bread, but it tastes like white bread. We can always start there. So it's just taking a look at what you're doing and seeing, like, how can I add a nutritional bang for my buck? We did, if y'all will go to the assessment page, you've never heard of bunny bread. Oh my gosh. I think it must be a big thing here in the South. I can't remember the jingle for bunny bread, but like back in the 80s and stuff. Yeah. It's a Southern thing. Yeah. I was gonna say, like, back in the 80s, they had a jingle. We used to like sing all about the bunny bread. So, but bunny bread is essentially like what you would think it is. It is some white ass bread, like melts in your mouth bread. You know, it's like, there's no fiber in it, because if water hits it, like, it, probably the Nathan's hot dog contest, if y'all ever watched them, they, you know, before they eat the hot dog, they sink it in water so that the bread turns to mush and they can get it down faster. Bunny bread would be like a really good quality type bread for a Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Let's see. On your page, though, if you go to the asset this month and no BS page, if you will all go there, guess what we added? There is a list of almost 100 different level ups you can try. So for those of you who get stuck and wondering, like, oh no, I'm not real creative, it's really hard to figure out level ups. Girl, we did the work for you. We went through and we combed everything that we could think of. And we gave y'all almost a list of 100 things that you could use. What is best to do if losing weight is still scary for me? I find if I lose too quickly, I don't do as well mentally. So if weight loss is still scary for you, Julie, we just want to make sure that you take module 2 of No BS. There is a grounding technique in there called the Now process, where you can like feel the fear and allow yourself to like breathe through it. That's one thing. The second thing is like changing the relationship you have with weight loss. Like, why am I so scared? All of that happens in module 2 of No BS. So you want to be asking yourself, like, why am I so scared of losing weight? What is, like, am I afraid I'm going to gain it back? Am I afraid I'll get attention from others? We need to first understand it. And then you're going to put it through the four ends. And what I would do is, before you do the four ends, is I would just make a list of, why is weight loss scary for me? And then don't do anything with it just yet. Set it aside. Keep adding to it until you have a lot, like, where you feel like there's a lot of like things, like, I'm afraid of failure. So a lot of you are like, I'm afraid I'll fail again. A good question to ask is why? Why am I afraid to fail? Failing it in itself is not bad until I think, well, other people would see it. I would never have the life that I want. If I fail again, like, people will make fun of me. Like, all of us have these reasons why we are afraid. So you just want to get the list. Then you set it aside for a day. And then I want you to come in and I want you to tell yourself, I'm really glad that I know that these are the things that are going on underneath the surface. So at our camp in November, we're going to really go into ways to take a look at some of this stuff at a deeper level. Like, just like, how do we make peace with it? Where was its origin stories? Like, we're going to do some inner child work. For a lot of you, like you're afraid to fail because like you just think like the past version of you, you're so mad at her and you don't want to be like her. Like there's all these things that go on. We're actually doing a class on forgiveness. We're going to tackle it in two ways. There's forgiving ourselves for things we may have done in the past, forgiving ourselves for regaining weight, forgiving ourselves for ever getting into the shape that we're in, for the health conditions we are. Then there's some of us who are really stalled in life because we can't forgive others for things that they've done, things that they've said, like experiences that we've had. So we're going to really work on that. But I would take a day and then I would tell myself, I'm so glad that I have this list. This is why I'm scared. It's not because something actually is going to happen to me. It's these thoughts and stories I have in my head. And those can be changed with time. So then I would like, once you are like, this is the mindset I want to have around my list, then I would take them one at a time every few days, and I would just run the four ends on them. That will help you get past a lot of the fear because all we're doing is we're challenging them. Will somebody link them to the page where all the level ups are? Oh, we did. All right. Misha's already got it on there. It's right now. It's actually on the helpful worksheets page, y'all. I'm struggling with my doable hunger because I had gastric sleeve surgery. I feel that enough is after 5 bites. I don't think I'm eating enough food every day. Okay. So Cindy, when you have had the sleeve, and if any of you are on some of the new classes of weight loss drugs, your doable hunger is going to be a little different. So I still want you paying attention, but your hunger, like after 5 bites, may feel like enough. But if you intellectually know, like, I cannot meet my nutrient requirements doing this, then you're going to need to keep eating. And you're going to need to keep eating to a point to where it's like, okay, this is actually enough. Because when you've been medically altered, so for the rest of us, when we haven't been medically altered, we can reestablish a connection to our body. But if you've had a medical alteration, then we have to redefine what that physical feeling is going to be. It's just going to be different for you. It doesn't mean that you don't have an enough factor, but your enough factor also has to include nutrients and making sure that you are getting enough. So we want to make sure that you reset that. So you're still going to wait for hunger and enough, but your signals are going to be different because of that. And then Brittany Graham said, Cindy, if you want, we do have a weight loss surgery Facebook group. If you want to go over there and join that, you can also talk about it there because many of our women have had weight loss surgery. They use doable hunger, but they have tricks and tips on how to make it work for weight loss surgery. I scored myself a 1 on number 9 when I feel restricted. I can distinguish it. I can distinguish if it's real or my thinking. Could you talk a little bit about restriction and how I can level up that? So a lot of times what happens is if you have had a lot of past diet trauma where you have done overly restricted diets or diets that took away tons and tons of food, you had to starve and stuff, that when we are eating to enough in no BS, even when you intellectually know this is not like that, your habit brain is on guard for this being like that. Your habit brain freaks out a little bit. It starts going like, oh no, I think we're restricting. It wants to send up warning signals, not because something is happening. It sends up the warning signals of restriction and deprivation to guard against it happening again. So a lot of times when we just know that our brain does that, it's a lot easier to just in the moment, when we feel it, breathe through it and remind ourselves, this is just like my habit brain trying to protect me. It's wanting me to just like reassure it. This is not like the other. Everything is okay. We are no longer restricting. I would never starve myself to lose weight ever again. That's just a new agreement I make with my body. So it's that reestablishing the trust. I check my labs 1 to 2 times a year, and those are good. I'm just afraid I'm not eating enough. I also do protein powder daily. Nancy, if your labs are fine and you're doing protein powder daily, like, why are you afraid you're not eating it? What indicator is, like, this is what we want to find out, Nancy. Do you actually have an indicator somewhere that says you're not eating enough? Or is this just fear? Like, your brain is just like, I don't know, maybe. Because I would be like, if there's no real indicators, then I would ask myself, why am I so afraid I'm not eating enough? Probably underneath it is more of a mental hurdle, which is, well, you'll never be able to sustain this for the long haul. And then you'll just gain your weight back. If that's going on underneath the surface, take it to Ask Coaches or do the 4 N's. That's a mental hurdle, not an actual hurdle. But I'm glad you got your labs and stuff. I'm getting my labs done on Friday. I got my physical the other day, and my doctor, literally, he told me, he was like, you're like my favorite patient. And he said, when you walk in, like, it's like, you don't smoke. I don't hardly drink anymore. He used to have to talk to me about, I liked to drink like 3 or 4 nights a week. And I was like a 3 to 4 glass girl back in the day. And that was the only conversation we ever had. Well, like, I might drink a couple times a week now. And I might be 2 drinks. Sometimes I don't drink. Even when we go to this trip, we went to Vegas, y'all, we got stuck in Vegas. We went on Thursday. We didn't drink. We ended up going shopping on Thursday. I needed to get my ring. My ring was a little wonky that I'd bought. So I went back and I was like, I wanted to get the band soldered together because I didn't like all the twisty. And then we just kind of walked around and stuff. And so we came back to the hotel at like 6 o'clock at night. And I looked at Chris and I was like, I'm just ready to go to bed. He's like, you don't want to go out at all? And I was like, no, just bed. Friday, we went to the pool. And then we went to poker. That was a good day. And we literally had like 2 or 3 drinks the entire day. Whereas normally we would have drank like literally our way through the casino. And then we didn't drink at all Saturday when the hurricane started blowing through. So we went to the pool, we didn't drink. We left because it was getting colder and windier. And then we got our flight canceled. So I didn't fly back till last night. I was supposed to fly home Sunday morning and I flew back like late last night. And we didn't drink a lick. And I did a lot of sleeping and I did a lot of working. And like, my doctor is just like, you've like, really, he said, you do everything that I could ask someone to do. He said, because there's 2 things when it comes to your health. There's the part you can control and there's the part you have no control over. And he said, everything, like when it comes to how you eat and movement, not smoking, like all that stuff. He's like, you are doing everything you can. And he said, and then we test every year because genetically stuff typically goes wrong. And he's like, and that happens to everyone. And we don't have to feel shame about it. And we don't have to feel bad about that part. And I just love that because he's one of the few doctors that like I've ever been to who helps me, like he helps separate out, like there will always be things you can't control, no matter what you do. But there are these things that do your best in those, and then let's see what happens. So anyway, I just always like it. But he always likes me because, you know, he's like, I don't have anything to tell you other than, you know, get your labs to keep coming. Let's keep checking. Let's not let anything slip. Last question. Let's see. Okay, here's a good one. I've been with No BS for years and have made mental progress, but overall I've gained weight. I think a lot about quitting. If you have any advice, I'd appreciate it. I would ask myself, where am I? If you're gaining weight, like you may be accomplishing mental hurdles in these areas, and that's always amazing. And a lot of people need to clean a lot of shit up in their life to take down the stress, to take down the overwhelm, to take down the self-loathing, to improve the quality of their relationships before they are willing to give the food up. Now you're at the stage where it's time to give up some food. Anonymous, Maria, anybody that resonates, like now's the time where it's like, oh, I gotta like, stop overeating. I need to take the assessment and find, where am I overeating? That has to change now. That doesn't mean you got to go low carb. It doesn't mean you can't eat the food you love, but you can't eat past enough anymore. What is it going to take? What are the things that you're going to need to do in changing your, what are the mental hurdles? This is a good question for you, Anonymous. Where are the mental hurdles right now that I have around stopping at enough and waiting for hunger? Start there. Because that's the next step. If you've overcome a lot of other stuff and you're feeling better, you've cleared the decks and you have created the path to be able to do the hard work. Because what sometimes is really hard for people is, it's time to ask yourself, why am I afraid to stop at enough? Where are all the places I'm not stopping at enough? And why am I doing that? Where are all the places I'm not waiting for hunger? Why am I doing that? What is it that goes on that I just don't turn that on? And for some people, if they don't take care of their life first, if food is the only way to get through their life, like it's the only way to feel comforted, it's the only way to feel connected to their partners, it's the only way they have a social life, it's the only way they have fun, it's the only way they ever get pleasure, it's the only stress relief they get, it's the solve for when they're bored. If food is doing all of that, but you are not changing your life at all and how you think about your life, then when we take away the food, we're taking away all of this positive emotion along with it. And for some people, they have to clean up some of their life and add to their life and add to self-care and figure all that out first, so that when they take away the food, they're not left with nothing. But when you have been working and crossing your mental hurdles and doing that stuff, now it's like, now I just got to face the music. I am not going to like stopping at enough at dinner, when for the past 2 years, I've told myself that it tastes too good. I will not like it one bit. But I'm okay with that displeasure for a few weeks, because I don't talk to myself like an asshole in other areas now. So now I can handle not feeling good, because this area of my life, I don't just feel like ass all the fucking time. So now I have the capacity to feel like ass when I stop eating and I really want to keep going. And that's what a lot of you need to do. You need to realize, like, no, it is not going to feel good when you stop it enough sometimes. It's going to feel ratchet, because you're going to think all the things. But that's okay. It's not because I'm actually being deprived. It's not because I'm being told what to do. All of that false narrative that swarms around in my brain and makes me feel like ass is like, yeah, it's going to feel like ass until that shit dies down. It's not true, but it sure ain't fun when it comes up. On the other side is every bit of weight loss you want. Now, you can quit. I'm going to tell all of you, you can quit right now. And you can go and try to do, like, I just don't understand why people say, like, well, I'm going to quit and then I'm going to go count calories, or I'm going to do Weight Watchers or something. I'm like, you still have to stop it enough when you do that stuff. You still actually have to do all that stuff. Why is that any different? It's just not. We make it different. We think if we do something else that it'll make all the difference. It's like, not really. At some point, you're going to run out of points. And guess what? That food's going to taste fucking good. At some point, you're going to be calculating some macros and you're going to wish you could eat some pizza, and you're not going to be able to have it. And then you're going to feel deprived. And then you're actually going to feel deprived, because now you're doing a program where you can't eat the pizza at all. They don't teach you how to stop eating it enough. They just say, like, oh, don't eat that. That's like evil food, you know, that has flour in it, right? I mean, that's just pure stricken evil from the devil's spawn himself. So it's just really important that you look at right now, where am I overeating? And what am I afraid of when it comes to giving it up? Because I've solved some of this other mental shit. Why am I not stopping at enough at dinner? Why am I still eating at night? That's the mental hurdles to cover now. All right. It's everything. Y'all have a good week. I will see you on Sunday. And I hope you enjoyed it. Do your assessment. Bye, y'all.